We've been talking about Iran. In fact, Iran has been the conversation on Chai FM for at least 18 years. This is not a new conversation. The 12-day war, thought, well, you know, it's over. We were told it's over. The United States was saying it's over. The Fordo, done, destroyed. This week, intel coming out that that's not really the case. And not only is that not the case, but Iran is rebuilding. So joining me right now is the Senior Vice President of American Foreign Policy Council, Ilan Berman. Good afternoon, Ilan.
Oh, hey.
Glad
to be back.
It's lovely to have you. Where does this all end? It's like a hydra.
No. Correct. And by the way, I think the optics on expectations on this has changed a little bit because the American president, it's been famously said, you can't take him literally, but you have to take him seriously. So when he talks about Iran's nuclear program being totally demolished, I think that's probably not accurate. It's true that a significant blow was struck, but it's very clear that this is a program that the regime has invested in for the better part of three decades. This is a vast distributed architecture. And so it's not a surprise at all that they're rebuilding. But where the rubber meets the road really is what happens on the international diplomacy front over the next month and a half. And the reason for that is that October 18th is the deadline for the last remaining provision of the 2015 nuclear deal known as the JCPOA to be enforced. That's what your listeners may have heard about. That's the snapback provision.
Oh, those snapback sanctions. Whatever happened to the snapback sanctions, Ilan?
Well,
we're
about to find out because so this is the last remaining provision of the JCPOA that remains in force. It expires October 18th. And after that, it's going to be much, much harder to rally that multilateral coalition to restore pre-existing sanctions on Iran. Essentially, you have to rebuild the sanctions architecture all over again. The reason snapback is important and also complicated is because the snapback provision that was written into the 2015 deal says that all the parties to the JCPOA have the ability to enact snapback. Nobody can block it. So for example, future sanctions, if they're levied by the UN Security Council, can be blocked at the UN Security Council by Russia and China, who are partners of Iran. Snapback sanctions, theoretically, if they're invoked, can't be blocked. And so the Iranians are working really hard. They're coordinating very carefully with Moscow and with Beijing to try to slow down and run out the clock on snapback. And the U.S. is doing the opposite. The U.S. is pressuring the European countries to step up and to really put Iran's feet to the fire to hammer out some sort of deal, some sort of new deal, more durable deal before the end of August. Otherwise, snapback will be invoked. And the reason the U.S. is doing that is because the U.S., under the Trump administration, the last time it was in office, walked away from the JCPOA. So America itself doesn't have the standing to invoke snapback. So we're relying on Europe to carry the water here.
Okay, so what, just remind me, because I have trouble forgetting what I did yesterday, but just remind me what the sanctions actually mean. I mean, who's the United States? And I don't mean this to sound as belligerent as it's going to, but who's the United States to say that Iran can do this but can't do that?
It's not a question of Iran can do this or can't do that. Okay. So one of it's a little bit more complicated. And the way I would describe it is this. In the United States, when the Trump administration decided to walk away from the JCPOA the first time in May of 2018, President Trump cited three deficiencies with the deal. He said the deal was too short. All of its provision expired in a decade. In fact, right now, the only one that remains in force for another couple of months is the snapback provision. Everything else is expired. So that's the first. The second was that it was too generous. It provided Iran with too much sanctions relief in exchange for the Iranian slowdown of their nuclear.
In the very same,
and that it was too limited. meaning that it didn't cover things like Iran's ballistic missile arsenal, which is a crucially important part of any delivery system for a nuclear weapon, for example. So those are the three things that Trump cited as being the deficiencies for the JCPOA that warranted America walking away. But what we've discovered since then is that the sort of the real crux of the matter is this fourth criteria, the ability for Iran to enrich uranium indigenously. This was something that the Obama administration in its second term, in order to get the Iranians to agree to the JCPOA, allowed Iran to absorb that right. And now the problem becomes the Trump administration is trying to put that genie back in a bottle. It's trying to eliminate Iran's indigenous domestic enrichment capabilities. The Iranians, for obvious reasons, don't want to give up that right. But for America, this is a conversation that's not just about Iran, because there's lots of other countries, including, for example, Saudi Arabia, that are trying to have quiet conversations with Washington about their own nuclear programs. And if America can't get Iran right on this issue, what is the justification? What is the rationale for the Saudis to accept a deal that's less generous than what the Iranians need?
Well, exactly.
So the stakes on all this are very hot.
Yeah, I mean, Ilan, I mean, okay, so the snapback sanctions expire on the 18th of October, and Iran says, well, you know what? Actually, I'm going to go and try and find my business elsewhere. I'm going to speak to India. I'm going to speak to Pakistan. I'm going to speak to other nuclear nations. And it doesn't all depend on the United States. I mean, I'm playing devil's advocate here because, you know, what is the worst case scenario is when somebody doesn't recognize any authority that the United States has.
That's absolutely correct. And this is what the administration is trying to avoid, because if snapback is invoked, all of these UN approved sanctions that have been levied over on Iran for the decade and a half preceding the 2015 JCPOA come back into force. And Iran is really fundamentally constrained in a number of meaningful ways. Again, this doesn't eliminate the Iranian regime's desire to get a bomb, but it certainly will complicate their path to getting it. But if snapback expires, then all of these multilateral sanctions, they essentially disappear. And what the U.S. is left with its own maximum pressure policy, which will be enormously disruptive for international trade, because the U.S. will have no choice but to warn the Indians, warn the Chinese, and warn everybody else, hey, okay, Iran, now the snapback is gone, Iran is going to try to re-engage you on trade, and we will sanction you as a secondary nation if you engage in trade with Iran. Yeah. This is not a great strategy in economic terms. It's not a really effective strategy in terms of rapidly containing the Iranian nuclear effort. And so I think the administration is trying to avoid this by all means possible.
Yeah, and I think that would be the thing to do. Ilan Berman, thank you very, very much for your time. Thank you for lending us your voice and your insight. Much appreciated. Ilan Berman is the Senior Vice President of the American Foreign Policy Council. Do you agree? Do you disagree? What are your thoughts on Iran? Do you think that Iran at any point is going to recognize the authority as a Security Council member or as a world power of the United States? And if it doesn't, then who knows?